You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome to the Talking City podcast, coming to you from the Manchester Evening News. My name's Joe Bray, joined as ever by Simon Bykovsky, and we're previewing City versus Newcastle in the FA Cup quarterfinal. Another competition, another game where the treble is supposedly at stake, but City won't treat it like that. They will treat it as just the next game and they have to win it. We've also just learned that City will face Real Madrid in the Champions League quarterfinals. What a draw that is. We'll be discussing that shortly. Simon, are you looking forward to a break from the Premier League? Another meeting of City versus Newcastle?
I thought you were going to say Real Madrid. I think, you know, it gets to the stage where every game is big. And it felt like that with United and Liverpool, but it's when it starts feeling like that with Castles and, you know, Crystal Palace coming up and things like that, when, yeah, it's the busy time of the season.
I was speaking to, and we will get onto this, we've got the Newcastle point of view in Act 2 of this podcast, and it seems like for Newcastle, it's the be-all and end-all of their season. They've not really done what they've not repeated the success of last year. If they qualify for Europe, it's not going to be the Champions League. It's probably going to be a sort of a backdoor entry to the Conference League, maybe. This is going to be their only chance of silverware. So there's going to be something riding on it, isn't there? Because City will want to keep up the unbeaten run, obviously want to get to a semi-final and keep alive the hopes of the treble. But even though Newcastle aren't in the best form, I don't think it's going to be a straightforward one.
No, although Newcastle are not in the best form and not in the best shape injury-wise, City are in better form and in better shape injury-wise and are a better team. So it would be a big shock if City lost, especially at the Etihad, where they've not lost in, you know, since November 2022. So I think City have to be huge favourites. And, you know, the FA Cup might be the only competition City win this year, never mind Newcastle. So they've got to treat it like that. And they've got to, you know, pick the strongest team. They've had a week off, a midweek without a game. So they've got to put the strongest team out with the intention of ending Newcastle's season in March.
And I think it's one of them where there'll be a lot of Newcastle fans making a lot of noise, and they've had a lot of big games this season. It feels like it is their cup final, because...
Yeah. Well, you know, you get to that point where, you know, what have you got left to play for? And, you know, Newcastle, sadly, because of how they've done this season, it is like the FA Cup is their last big chance, really. And, you know, they've come far enough that they're, you know, considered as a contender, certainly were last year. And you can't really afford to show any mercy to those kind of teams when you come up against them. And, you know, feel like Newcastle did show that against City when they came to the Etihad earlier this season, because City were sort of on their knees after playing the Super Cup. Yeah, and the lack of ambition from Newcastle was really, you know, surprising.
Yeah.
So, you know, now tables are kind of turned a bit and it's up to City to put the foot on Newcastle's throat.
we've learned this week that we know that Edison won't be available. He's out probably until after the Arsenal game, but that wouldn't have affected this game anyway. Stefan Ortega will come in. We've also learned that Kevin De Bruyne has picked up a groin injury that will rule him out of Belgium's two games. Now, he should be back after the international break for the Arsenal game. I mean, firstly, do you think there's any chance that this is a sort of play and he will play some part, or it feels like he is out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's managing minutes. So I wouldn't say never, but I think it's highly unlikely that he plays against Newcastle, which is a blow for City because he was so important to beating Newcastle at St. James's Park. But, you know, he wasn't great against Liverpool last week when he got taken off early. So, you know, City will like to think that they've still got plenty.
I think it's a sort of a reflection of City's new approach to injuries, especially this time of the season. If there's any suggestion of an injury, they don't take any chances. They didn't do it with De Bruyne. Was it against Brentford earlier in the last month where he stayed on the bench and didn't do anything because he had a niggle? They would prefer to lose him for one game rather than 3, 4, 5 onwards. And I think I can see that's what they're doing, and it'll give Phil Foden a chance to come inside again potentially, or Alvarez, who wasn't great against Liverpool but was out of position, so he could replicate his form, and he's scored the winner in the home game in the league, didn't he? So
yeah, and even more with these two Champions League draws, you know, you were probably always looking at protecting De Bruyne to make sure he was fit with them, and then the way the draws have happened, you know, you definitely want Kevin De Bruyne to be 100% or as fit as he can be to play Real Madrid. So if that means missing the FA Cup game at Newcastle, so be it. City have been pretty good at kind of balancing priorities and all things like that. So, you know, I would kind of expect them to do it again with De Bruyne. I mean, they did it last year with De Bruyne because he got injured in the quarterfinal and played on till the end of the season.
And I think Tedesco, the Belgian manager, said he has been playing with his groin injury as well.
Yeah. So, you know, they're not in completely uncharted waters. And, you know, the performance team and the medical team will have a sort of comprehensive plan.
Well, I've been reading Twitter, and all the fans of every other team in the league have told me that it's just a ploy to get him fit and ready for the Arsenal game. He's not injured at all. So,
yeah, and you know, last year when City played Arsenal, they'd put him in cotton wool enough so that he could absolutely monster Arsenal. And if they do the same again, they do the same again. But, you know, you look at the guy and he spoke to us the other week and said, you know, that the hamstring that he had surgery on has been absolutely fine since he came back. But when you've not played for 6 months, everything else kind of goes a bit. And so his other hamstring gave him some problems that forced him to miss Brentford. And it looks like groin now that's a bit of an issue. So, yeah, some definite teething problems with him coming back.
It could probably help in a way that they basically have 4 number 10s, don't they? And only 3 positions to really play every game. So if there is scope to rest De Bruyne for some of them, that means that you're keeping Alvarez fresh. You're playing Foden.
Are we classing Alvarez as a 10?
I would say so. I know he's been playing on the wing, but the four I mean are De Bruyne, Alvarez, Foden and Bernardo, who can all play in that sort of behind the striker role.
Yeah.
But you can't fit all 4 in the same lineup, really. I think it's happened once since De Bruyne's back.
Yeah. No, just, you know, with the way Kovacic came on as well, he's very much an option as well in that midfield if you want to go Rodri, Kovacic, Foden. So, yeah, City, you know, they're not built on any one player. So,
and you've also got Grealish to come back in that matter as well. So it's a blow, but it's not the biggest one. And they played half a season without De Bruyne and got to this stage. So
Yeah. I think it's a case of making sure he is as fit as he can be for the big games.
Stefan Ortega, we touched on him in the last podcast, but I think he was always going to start this game. There was no sort of worries that he will step in and do a decent job. Are we sort of seeing the need to have a sort of a second goalkeeper just as good as the first one, do you think? Because I know this question's been sort of floating around. We can see Kelleher at Liverpool, who played really well at Anfield and is stepping in for Alisson. You've got Raya and Ramsdale at Arsenal. Having that sort of number two who can step in, it's
almost an impossible position in the squad to fill.
Yeah.
You need someone who's a number one, but is happy to not be a number one
for
years. And, you know, I think the keeper City have had, Bravo was Edison's deputy. There was Muric for a while, Stefan, and now Ortega. Ortega seems like the best of all of them. Although, I think, personally, I feel like Stefan was quite good, but kind of declined because he wasn't in the rhythm of starting games. Because it's so hard when...
The first year or so with Stefan, he was all right.
Yeah.
This lad's all right.
But, you know, it is an unsustainable situation because, you know, Ortega, Bayern Munich wanted him last year. And, you know, I think there's an acceptance that he may well leave this year. You know, there's a contract offer on the table for him from City, but it doesn't really show sign of being picked up because Ortega wants to play. You know, he started a Premier League game ahead of Edison the other month. And then afterwards he was like, yeah, I want to be number one. Yeah. I want to be number one here. And he hasn't been. So, you know, it does show the importance of having a really good backup, but it also shows that it's really hard to find one. And fortunately, City are in that position where they do have a really good backup to Edison. I mean, even from when he first came in, like there were people who were sort of fans demanding that he start ahead of Edison. Mm-hmm. So he's always been popular. And I don't think there'll be anyone worried that he's starting on Saturday.
That was it. I was asked from a Newcastle perspective, like, is it a blow that Edison's out? And I was like, it would not affect this game whatsoever because Ortega always starts the cup games and always does well apart from Southampton last season. But even then, that's his one bad game in a City shirt and he's proven that he doesn't do that every time he plays. He comes in and he's reliable and he came on at Anfield and some really big stops. And I think, yes, Edison is important to City and is always the number one. But if Edison was out for the rest of the season, I don't think it would disrupt City's rhythm too much. Let's get on to the Champions League draw. We're recording this just after learning that City have probably the draw that they didn't want. It was one of the teams that Guardiola said he was scared to get, but also said they'll be scared to get City. Third year in a row, City have Real Madrid. Quarterfinal this time. It was a semi-final last two times.
Yeah. Just sick of City getting easy draws. When will City get a hard team like Liverpool have? I mean, you don't have to beat the best teams to go all the way, but you tend to have to beat them at some point. It's kind of interesting the way the draw has happened because it's put City, Real, Bayern and Arsenal on one side of the draw, which...
And they're probably the three teams that if you were...
The three hardest draws, yeah. So it means that one of... if we got PSG, Atletico, Dortmund
and
Barcelona will make the final. It's really tough for City. But it was really tough for them last year. And they beat Bayern 4-1 on aggregate and beat Real 5-1 on aggregate. So I think it's the most important thing for Real is that they're away first. So if they can, keep things tight at the burnabout.
Well, I thought they were, and then...
Oh, have they switched it?
Apparently it's decided later. So I don't know.
Right. Well, the only thing is, because Atletico are at home as well, so I don't know whether they will change it. But as things stand, they're away first, which means that they will play the second leg at the Bernabeu, the second leg at the Etihad, which is exactly what happened last year, which is what they want. Whereas the year before, they kind of beat Real at home, but then couldn't hang on away from home when it really mattered.
And was it the last 16 in 2020? The one where COVID disrupted the two?
Yeah.
It was the away leg at the Bernabeu where it was brilliant performance. 3-4 months go on and then it's home at the Etihad. And it is a different set of circumstances, but I think, that home advantage. Was it Valverde who said it was the biggest atmosphere he's seen at the Etihad as well? So after that, it would be Arsenal or Bayern Munich. It doesn't get easier in the semi-finals.
No.
I don't know which one you would want out of those two. You would expect that the history of those two sides in the Champions League that Bayern would get through. Bayern aren't the team that they have been.
Yeah, well, that's it. On history, Bayern would get through, but it would be an interesting test for Arsenal. You know, Arsenal kind of got through that really tricky tie against Porto. You know, will that kind of have galvanised them to take on Bayern, or will that have had no effect because they will just play a Bayern team who are, you know, not that great this season? But also, you know, since Tuchel announced he was going, Bayern have had some terrific results, so maybe they're a bit liberated. And, you know, Tuchel will want to prove a point as well, and, you know, did really well against City last year. So that is a hell of a tie. City's is a hell of a tie, and it will be one hell of a semi-final as well.
I think on the other side, it might not be the same quality, but I think there are going to be some good games.
The two, yeah, they're really even ties, aren't they?
Even Atletico and Dortmund, it's a clash of styles, but you can't really predict who's going to win that.
No, no, you'd probably say that's the weakest of the four ties, but it's really even. And then PSG and Barca will be, you know, Barca will be delighted with that draw, I think. To have avoided the four teams that they really wanted to avoid, because kind of, you know, money is important to every club, but money is so important to Barcelona at the minute. So every kind of round they can get through, and they might not get past PSG, but every round they can get through, and if they can make the final, then
I can see PSG looking at that draw as well. And
yeah, absolutely.
They found the Champions League a bit difficult, and
it's their easiest draw since they got Leipzig in the semis in the COVID year, didn't they?
So it's
great. And like I tweeted something about this earlier, but like I've seen so much about how rubbish the Champions League is anymore. Oh, the last 16, so boring, and then you can't look at those four ties and go, yeah, that is a great draw. It's like, actually, this competition might actually be quite good.
But we're not going to get this again because it's going to be seeded next time. And
yeah,
City would probably avoid Real Madrid until the final because I think those two would be the top two.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we can call it rubbish next year. Yeah.
but I think that's going to add a different layer of intrigue to City's games. Luckily, for City's point of view, they have, I think, either side of those games, it's Palace away, then they'll play Real, then it's Luton at home. In between those two games, which is probably, apart from Sheffield United, the fixture you would want in between playing Real Madrid twice.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's away at Spurs or an FA Cup semi-final, which is a bit more difficult, but if they beat Real Madrid, they'll have plenty of momentum. Even though we're saying this, it is a difficult tie, they could well go out in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
How much pressure do you think that puts now on the FA Cup? You said before it could be the only competition that City win this year because they've got a very difficult Premier League title race.
Yeah, I suppose it adds to it. I don't think they will be thinking too much about that kind of a day out from playing Newcastle. No. It's difficult, isn't it? I don't know. I think you said the other day, like, they might need a really tough Champions League draw to kind of sharpen them for the last few months, and like, you know,
I don't know if I did, but I'm going to take credit for that.
Good you know, if they beat Newcastle tomorrow, then they will reach the end of March being in with a chance of retaining the treble. And I think that's what it's all about. It's about keep pushing the, kicking the can down the road and saying, you know what, we're still in this. And then they play Arsenal, and then they've got Villa and then Real quite soon after that. So, you know, you get into April and you're like, we're still in this. I don't, you know, maybe the fact that they've got Real will mean like, oh, right, we've got to really be at our best. But at the same time, I think once you get to this point, almost the idea of the treble will be bigger than else. Mm-hmm. And you're sort of thinking the chance to do this doesn't matter who we come up against, but this is still alive. Oh my God, we could actually do it.
I think it's, as we said at the beginning of March, it's a defining month.
Yeah.
And then it's only defining until April's defining, isn't it? So now that we know the sort of fixture and how the season's going to pan out until the end of the season, I think it's quite interesting now. But you can imagine all those players, we've seen it in the documentaries, they all gather for these draws, don't they?
You
can't imagine that they're disappointed at this draw.
No. And it's exactly that. You know, you look at March and it's suddenly got two games with Real Madrid and maybe a Bayern Munich or an Arsenal and FA Cup semi and Tottenham away and everything. Like, Arsenal looks, April looks really, really tough, but they have to be tough if you want to go all the way.
And I think having the prospect of Real Madrid and Bayern Munich en route to a final is far less daunting, having blitzed them both. last season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, City know they can do it, and Real and Bayern will be a bit wary of City. You know, nobody will have wanted to draw City in the quarters or the semis or the final. You know, they'll just hope that someone else knocks them out for them. So they will have to come to the Etihad knowing that they got battered the last time.
Makes for some very interesting few weeks and months in the run into the end of the season. We're going to leave it there. When we come back after the break, I've been speaking to Lee Ryder from The Chronicle to get the Newcastle perspective on the quarterfinal this weekend. And after that, we'll be back after speaking to Pep Guardiola in his press conference. So we'll be outside the City Football Academy discussing what he said, his reaction to the Champions League draw, and his preview for the Newcastle game. Back in a minute. Hi there, welcome back to the Talking City podcast. We've just been previewing City versus Newcastle in the FA Cup. Now we're joined by the chief Newcastle writer from The Chronicle, Lee Ryder, for a view of what's going on up in the northeast. Lee, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good.
Looking forward to another instalment of City versus Newcastle this season?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a saga, really, hasn't it? And, you know, Newcastle really probably owe Man City won at the Etihad Stadium. Obviously, it's been a nightmare for Newcastle going down there over the years. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we did, I think it was the Capital One Cup. I think we got a win a long time ago. But apart from that, it's just been, you know, real pain going there. It's a great stadium and a great setup, and the press get looked after very well at Man City, as you know. But for us, it's always awful leaving the stadium, because you know they've usually suffered a heavy defeat. So let's hope that it can change. But it is only hope, you know, because Man City are a class team. They've showed it, and Newcastle must now really find probably their best performance in the Eddie Howe era.
Well, that's interesting, because I know at the beginning of the season when Newcastle came to the Etihad and it was in the league, and we were saying, I think it was just before or after City were in the UEFA Super Cup, and there were a couple of injuries, and we were thinking this is the best chance Newcastle have got in quite a while to get a result. And it was a relatively boring game. City did what they had to do, I think, and just got the one goal and won 1-0. And then we go up to St James's Park for the Carabao Cup, and both teams make changes, and Newcastle get what I thought was quite a deserved win in the end to knock City out of that competition. Up in the in northeast again in the Premier League, we know what happened in January, and Kevin De Bruyne comes off the bench and Oscar Bob scores that late goal. And I wasn't there, I was at a family event, and I would never have missed that event, but I was looking at my phone thinking, I wish I was there, because this is just a game of such high quality. And I feel like there'll be some changes on Saturday in the cup for both sides, but I think it'll be less changes than the Carabao Cup, and both sides really have different reasons for wanting to win this, don't they? It's quite a big game in Newcastle's season because of how the league's gone. How big is the FA Cup for Newcastle now we're sort of at this stage of the season?
Yeah, it's the be all and end all for Newcastle this season in terms of success. Yes, they could on paper mathematically scrape their way into the Europa Conference League, which would be a good achievement given what's happened this season. But in terms of silverware, this is it for Newcastle. It's the one ticket they've got left to potentially go back to Wembley. It's the one ticket they've got left to try and, you know, win something, which, you know, you talk about that Man City game back in August when Man City had all the trophies lined up along the sideline. It's like, you know, it was showboating, but it was like almost admirable, because like Newcastle, that's where Newcastle want to be, and it was showing you this is what you can win. So, look, I think for me, this game Newcastle play the strongest team. I think we'll see an improved performance. I think the players will hopefully rise to the occasion, and I think it'll be tight. I really do. I mean, it was okay, Newcastle defensively at Chelsea the other night, sloppy, poor mistakes. They stood off Chelsea, but it was still a close game. It was still only 3-2, so Newcastle have got a threat at the other end. Be interested if Newcastle go in front in this game and then see where they go from there, because a lot of games Man City have got on the schedule as well at the minute, so hopefully that can play in Newcastle's favour.
And what City have been sort of tending to do a few times is fall behind, and you never know what happens. It happened in the derby against United. There's been a few games where they've gone behind and not always held on. So if that gives Newcastle fans a bit of hope, it might do. But I also think that City have had a few days. They've had a full week since the Liverpool game, and that often gives them the rest that they need. Although I think Rodri came out and said that they were tired after the Liverpool game. So you never know. There might be a bit of fatigue there. What I wanted to ask you, what's gone wrong at Newcastle this season? In isolation, it's a sort of okay season, but compared to last season, the sort of highs of getting to the Champions League, beating all these sides and qualifying for Europe, it seems to have derailed a bit. Is it as simple as saying they had to play in the Champions League and haven't got the squad to cope for it, or is there anything a little bit deeper?
Yeah, there could be a couple of things that go deeper than just the squad. I mean, at the start of the season, I did think the squad wasn't equipped to play in four competitions. Last season, they did very well, but the squad wasn't equipped to play in three competitions. And I don't think Newcastle fully addressed that in the summer. And I don't, because Eddie Howe had never played in Europe, and Newcastle haven't been in Europe for a long, long time. 20 years in the Champions League, for example, 10 years in the Europa League. I think there was a lot of, not naivety, but a lot of inexperience of not being able to cope with the three games. We started off fine, picked up 4 points in the first two Champions League games, walloped PSG. And then it all just started to catch up with Newcastle, and then injury after injury happened. I think some players, if we're being honest, we're probably rushed back too quickly. You had the Sandro Tonali affair where he's been banned for the full season. He was Newcastle's big marquee signing last summer. It hasn't been able to play. Very frustrating on that score. I think Newcastle wasted, if I'm being totally honest, they wasted the lure of the Champions League that they had to bring in a couple of real stars. Didn't do it. January came round. The FFP thing, everyone's petrified of breaking the rules. I know it's something Man City have got hovering around them as well, with 115 charges. So I know that's that's in the background at Man City. You've got the Everton situation. So Newcastle are petrified of making a mistake on that front and potentially get points deducted. So overall, everything that could really go wrong this season for Newcastle has gone wrong. They're 10th in the table. League table doesn't lie. And now it's all going to boil down to 90 minutes on Saturday night in the FA Cup.
I think that could potentially play into City's hands, because they need sort of... They like to take every game in isolation, and that's how they have sort of built their success. But if you've got a team really fired up and sort of desperate to win, then they can't take it lightly at all. But that, to me, tells me I think we're going to have quite a good open game, and especially if there's a few changes. We've just learned today, we're recording this on Thursday, that Kevin De Bruyne is probably going to be out. He's not in the Belgium squad, so I'm sure that'll go down well up in Newcastle, especially how he played at St James's in the league. You mentioned earlier that sort of seeing all those trophies was where Newcastle want to be in terms of sort of looking at what City have done. I think what City did in the early days was use the cups. So they used the Carabao Cup, they used the FA Cup just to get that sort of process of winning. So I know Newcastle were in the Carabao Cup final last year, but having that sort of experience of going deep in these competitions, sort of they built on that, and then they could go a little bit further every time in Europe, or a bit further in the title race. And I think it's that slow progress. And like you say, if Newcastle haven't maybe used the lure of the Champions League to make some signings, maybe that's what City did. They sort of slowly improved the squad. But we have heard Pep Guardiola in the last few press conferences sort of name check Newcastle and say, you know, if they're only playing once a week next season, they're going to be back. They're going to be sort of strengthen the squad. They're going to be stronger. Is that something that you could take out of a bad season? If you've not quite built on the success this year, you could take a step back and say, right, we're going to go and do what we did 2 years ago next year.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, that is one we're looking at. I think what you refer to there when Man City won the FA Cup, I think it was 2011, that mm-hmm. was within 3 years of the takeover. If Newcastle don't win anything this season, then their kind of first three years will be marked without a trophy. So they're under a little bit of pressure to match what Man City done. I think really from Newcastle's point of view, I think this season, they've got to finish it strongly. They need to try and get into one of the European competitions still. They could still do that. That would be something to salvage from the season. But yeah, next that is, it conflicts, doesn't it? Because if they do that, then they've got the Europa League. We know what that's like. Long-winded, it's awkward, and it's not as glamorous as a Champions League. Yes, we'd love to be in it, but I think that would almost derail what you're saying there, that they would have longer weeks and they'd have to plan accordingly. So it's a strange one, really. They could end up being victims of their own success again, and if they have two bad seasons in a row, then you know, patience would be running thin from some people. And you know, Man City had to do it, change manager. Personally, I quite like Eddie Howe. I think he's very good. He's very thorough. He's very good with the press. But this season, I think he knows that Newcastle can't get away with finishing 10th or 11th. They've got to have a strong finish. So, and he knows that. He knows the price on the ticket. So it's an intriguing few months ahead at Newcastle.
And it's interesting that an FA Cup can really change the perception of a season, can't it? If Newcastle don't finish as strongly as they want in the league, if they come away with an FA Cup and they've got that trophy to parade around, you can say, right, we've done this at least. And I wasn't expecting there to be so much riding on this game, really. We're sort of focusing on City's treble chances and can they continue to go on to the end of the season with that sort of double treble on the line. But the fact that there's a lot on the line for Newcastle as well is going to make it quite an interesting game. There'll be obviously a big following from Newcastle as well, which will always, I feel, it makes the atmosphere a bit better when there's 7,000-8,000 away fans there at the Etihad as well. Just before we go, what is the sort of outside view on the title race? We're in the middle of City have played United, they've just played Liverpool, really high quality game. They've got Arsenal after the international break. These games are going to define the title race. What's the outside view on sort of what an unprecedented three-horse title race?
Yeah, well, I watched the Man City game against Liverpool on Sunday with great interest, but for all different reasons. One, I'm a football fan, but two, obviously, I know we're playing Man City next, and Man City probably could have won it. I think they hit the post, didn't they, through Doku, and they could have won that game, and I think that would have put Man City firmly in the driving seat. I think Arsenal are stronger this season and they're driven from last season's disappointment and talk that they bottled it. I think they'll be mentally stronger this season. I think Arteta will use that to his advantage to motivate the players. But then you've got the Jurgen Klopp factor. He's obviously leaving and he wants to leave with that Premier League trophy in his hands. I think out of all the competitions Liverpool can win this season, the one that he wants to put on the table is the title, and then, you know, he walks away from Liverpool, job done. So I think there's all types of different factors. I mean, Man City are world class. Liverpool are motivated by Klopp, and then Arteta and Arsenal, they're motivated by what happened last season. So I think it's going to go right the wire. I think it will be a three-horse race all the way to the last two, three, four games, where it's normally, you know, down to two. Could even go to the last game of the season, which would be really exciting to watch, and I know that cuts deep into Man City's tapestry, doesn't it? The Aguero situation. So, I think if you're pushing me for who I think will win it, I think Liverpool will. I think Liverpool will get over the line for Klopp, but it's going to be close and it's going to be really good to watch.
It's really hard to call. You think you can settle on an answer, and then you think, you know, but Arsenal are scoring all these goals and have better goal difference, and City have the experience and obviously the Klopp factor. I think the City Arsenal game coming up is going to be crucial. If City can win that, they've got a really good chance, but if they don't, I'm not sure they're going to do it again, but we will see. Back to Saturday's FA Cup game. Can I get a score prediction from you?
Oh, well, I've been through this in my mind a few times. I mean, I was fearing something really heavy at one point, you know, potentially leaking 4 or 5 goals away, Newcastle have been defending. But I think we'll go there with a different outlook. I think it'll be tight. It'll be a huge call to say Newcastle will win it. If they did win it, then I think maybe they win it by it going all the way to penalties. But unfortunately, I've got to look at the form book and say Man City are probably going to go through. But nothing would give me greater pleasure to be proven wrong. And imagine the scenes. You've mentioned them 8,000 Geordies there. Imagine it goes to penalties and Newcastle squeak through. It would be one of the best days of my life. So I'm trying to err on the side of positivity, but there's no doubt who the favourites are in this game.
I'll refrain from giving the score prediction because I'm aware that we're going to record the other parts of the podcast tomorrow, and I don't know what else. To me, it's closer than I often think when it's a City Newcastle game. So I don't know what my score prediction is going to be tomorrow, so I'm not going to give you one today. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was extra time, to be honest. I think City are going to make some changes, and I think they're a little bit tired, so I think they're at the stage of the season where they're doing what they need to do rather than blowing teams away. That might give Newcastle some hope. I don't know. Thanks very much for spending the time to join us, and see you on Saturday, and good luck from City.
Hello there, welcome back to the Talking City podcast. We've just been at Pep Guardiola's press conference. He's reacted to the Champions League draw, giving a bit of a team news update. Let's start with that team news. Jack Grealish, we weren't expecting an update on him, but he could play out of nowhere. Initially, we thought it was going to be out till after the international break, which is when we now expect Edison and De Bruyne back, but Grealish could be back.
Yeah, it's a surprise, really, because Grealish kind of got injured at Copenhagen, and there was a bit of a snarky comment from Pep afterwards about was he fit to begin with? Rushes back, is back for Luton, injures himself again, and then it's kind of like, has he come back too soon again? Yeah. And the thinking is, well, you know, he's probably out until after the international break, and, you know, wasn't selected by Gareth Southgate for the England squad. But now Pep says he'll be in the squad for Saturday against Newcastle, so who knows? Certainly not one we're expecting.
It's weird because we've just been talking. Normally, if Gareth Southgate has a half-fit player, he will select them and then tell them to go back to the clubs when they're sort of assessed when they get to international duty. But this time, Grealish is seemingly back in training and now is not in the England squad. So that's probably good for City, where we're not expecting him to play a lot against Newcastle.
Yeah.
You can then have 2 weeks to get up to speed.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, I don't think it kind of... I think the players always want to go away with the national teams because they want to be in that contention, and certainly it's kind of like the last big one before the Euros, and, you know, you'd expect Grealish to be there, but he's still got something to prove. But
and that's the only position in the England squad, really, isn't it? That people are saying, who's going to start there? Is it Rashford or Grealish or someone else? You'd think if he had the chance that he would... I don't know whose choice it was not to include him.
Yeah. But certainly, you know, his season's not really got going at City. So if he can kind of take these 2 weeks and really use them to be as fit as he can be and as fresh as he can be when they get back, then it will be really useful both for him and for City.
Yeah, I think Guardiola always values that time on the training pitch, doesn't he? So they don't often have a full squad, and they won't do again. But if you can have potentially De Bruyne going back to fitness, Grealish, you can have a few players there who can use that time just to get ready for the running.
Yeah, and, you know, I sort of don't want to bang on about it because I feel like I always do, but City seem like a much better team with Grealish in it, and the sort of stats would back that argument up. But it hasn't always been the case that it's been felt this season, but kind of the longer it's gone on, you feel like, City are just waiting to kind of fit Grealish back in, but they've just not been able to.
And the fact that Guardiola says Edison and De Bruyne could be back for Arsenal is also better than we were expecting.
Yeah, you sort of worry like, are City falling apart, really? Because, like, you know, last season you've kind of got that was key to them winning the treble, everyone coming fit at the same time, and it might do again, but
the De Bruyne getting injured, Edison getting injured and Grealish out, it was problematic. And it might still be, but, you know, De Bruyne and Edison being back for Arsenal, De Bruyne especially, would be really, really significant. It's one of those with De Bruyne. We obviously spoke about it before the press conference, and, you know, Pep was saying he played with a bit of an issue at Anfield, but, like, every player plays with issues all the time. It was just that he felt it after the day after the game, and so, you know, they've taken action because of it. So it does seem more preventative than kind of reactive.
And there was sort of cooperation with Belgium to say, listen, let's just give him a rest. And
yeah,
I think Guardiola's quite appreciative of that when he doesn't always get that cooperation.
And it's what you need. And we've seen, you know, this week with, like, Liverpool and Mo Salah in Egypt. Like, I don't think Salah's been called up by Egypt despite the fact he's playing for Liverpool, because Egypt have accepted that his body needs to rest a bit, and they're happy for them to do it in those games when he should be playing. So a good relationship with the national team and the medical staff over there is really important.
But Guardiola will still say after the Newcastle game, the only thing he wants from the international break is no more injuries.
Yeah.
It's also good that these players are probably back, because we heard a lot of Real Madrid talk, as you would expect. Guardiola was quite, I'd say, cagey. He wasn't giving much away. He said that last season's big win wouldn't affect the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
He wasn't giving anything away, but then you've got Cheeky Bigosa saying, yeah, why not? We can win it.
We're confident we
can do it. So it seems like there's more confidence than before, but also a lot of respect for Real Madrid, who are completely used to playing in this stage of the season.
I mean, I think, you know, you think back to the Bernabeu last season and Guardiola just getting, like, whistled on the touchline, and that sort of, as someone who, you know, was aware of the rivalry between Madrid and Barca but wasn't quite fully expecting that, you know, Pep will not want to create one headline that can be sort of twisted to make it seem like he's disrespecting Real Madrid. You know, I think one of the first things he said about them was that they're the kings of the competition, which they are, but, you know, he makes a point about saying it because he wants to get across just how much respect he has for their achievements.
Definitely. I'd not thought about that. He will know more than anyone that his comments will be scrutinised up back into
the People will be looking to see what he said that could be construed as damaging to them.
But that's how sort of the media works over there, isn't it? There's a game before the game, really, isn't it?
Yes. Whereas media over here is perfect.
We're lovely. We treat him with plenty of respect. Back to Newcastle. We know that now Grealish is in the squad. Don't think he'll start if he's not been injured. Who do you think could play? Who do you think could come in?
I would kind of expect Doku and Kovacic to come in for Alvarez and De Bruyne. So the two changes from Anfield, really, and Ortega, so the three. But I thought it was Doku's best game in ages when he came on.
And he nearly gave away it. Cost you a penalty.
No, he did really well. And Kovacic as well, and also with De Bruyne missing, then you can play Foden in the middle, which I think we're all kind of happy to see. Foden against Newcastle at the start of the season at the Etihad, it was that game where he sort of was on the right, but basically played through the middle.
I wouldn't mind seeing that link up again, so put Alvarez back in the middle and Foden on the right and come inside, because it did work. And I know Alvarez has been a bit out of form, but I think also having Kovacic would help, because I feel like whoever Newcastle play, they play through the middle. On those transitions, and they just try and play direct through the middle and then spread it wide, so you can have another body there who's just aware of that. I think, because we saw it, was it Chelsea at home, where it was just end to end because there was no midfield. I could see a similar game unfolding if City don't City let that sort of path.
I think kind of Rodri and Kovacic are very much needed, and Stones and Akanji, that kind of base.
I wonder if Diaz might come back, because
I think he should come back. I just can't pick who he'd come back in for. Like, you know, and if you say, oh, he comes back in for Akanji, or he comes back in for Stones, or he comes back in for Walker or Ake, absolutely fine. But equally, I wouldn't have a problem with those four starting again.
Well, we asked Akanji after the Anfield game of, like, were you surprised to play? And I think he was maybe a little bit offended by the question, because he was like, well,
yeah.
But also he was saying that everyone no one's guaranteed a place, and everyone's fighting. Yeah. And why shouldn't he play?
Yeah.
But he always plays well in the big games, doesn't he? So
yeah.
Yeah, I could see that as well. Can we get a prediction?
This is 3-1.
I always think it's going to be tight. I don't think, even if they're not at the best, I can see them sort of grinding City down a little bit. Like we said before, at the Etihad in the league, Newcastle weren't great, but it was still only one goal in it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll say 2-1 and potentially extra time, which no one wants. But I think City will
win.
I
don't even thought about extra time.
Nobody wants extra time. But I also know that Newcastle are expecting a bit of a battering from their sort of fans and reporters.
Yeah.
They're not confident at all. So maybe it is a chance for City to get a few goals early on and then bring on other players and rest. And
yes,
that's where we might see Jack Grealish, for example.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, but I wouldn't be expecting to see a lot of him.
No. I wonder if it's a bluff as well. So Guardiola saying, yeah, he's in the squad, but we're not going to play him.
Yeah, which he's done before.
Yeah.
I think the England omission is quite telling.
Yeah. There's something doesn't add up there, but also, I don't know. Just the way that, because I think Southgate said that Maguire and Chilwell are in there but not fit, so there might be Rico Lewis called up.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but we will.
One to watch for Saturday anyway, to see if he's in the squad. Definitely. And how much he plays, if he warms up and all of that.
We will bring you all that on Saturday with a blog from the ground and analysis as ever on the Manchester Evening News. We'll be back next week to discuss whether City are FA Cup semi-finalists, and it will be an international break, so we'll have to figure out some more things to say over 2 weeks.
We've got plenty.
Where there's no football, but as ever, there's always City talking points. Thanks for joining us. Leave us a like and subscribe wherever you find us on all the social media platforms, and we'll be back next week after the Newcastle game.
Good afternoon, guys. Hope you're well. Same process as ever. Mics on either side. Please raise your hands. Let us know you'd like to ask a question. And we'll set an embargo partway through for 10:30 this evening. Start with Mike, please.
Afternoon, Ben. One place to start, that's the Champions League draw earlier today. Rubbing your hands at Real Madrid again?
Sorry?
Rubbing your hands. Excited by the prospects of Real Madrid again?
Yeah, we don't have another option. it looks like a little bit tradition, not 3 years in a row, so playing the king of the competition, because winning 14 Champions League, but it's what it is. Hopefully we can arrive in a good moment, and still a few weeks before the first game in Madrid, and we'll see.
Are you happy with the fact that the second leg will be at home, a chance perhaps to do what you did last season?
Listen, the draw, you're going to control the draw, so normally when the people say this draw is easy, it's because you undermine the other opponent. So it's not necessary to say what is Real Madrid in this competition. And the draw, the second leg at home when 2 seasons ago was away. So it's what it is. So we have to do 2 good games there and here to go through.
The local competition this weekend, Newcastle. Yeah. You've had some real good battles with them this season, tight, close games, and I assume you expect the same tomorrow?
No, this season, the previous one, since Eddie Howe was there and the people from Saudi Arabia took take over, so always have been a really, really tight game, so I don't expect differently tomorrow, but they have an incredible chance again at home, and our people, from now on, we need until the end of the season, every home game, the support for our fans, like we had against United. I don't remember for a long time environment that was against United. We need that, and tomorrow is not an exception to reach Wembley semi-final again.
And we know, or it's likely, Stefan Ortega will play tomorrow in goal with Edison's injury. Firstly, how is Edison, and secondly, what are Stefan's qualities that draw him so close in comparison?
He has proven since he arrived an incredible quality performance. So we are delighted with all 3 keepers, but the moment when he has to play, he always has performed unbelievable. So, and it is getting better. So hopefully after international break, we'll be ready.
Andy.
Can I just ask you about Kevin this week, about his injury? How serious is it, and when do you expect him to be back?
Well, he's not ready. He already played in Anfield with some problems. But it's getting better. It's not ready for tomorrow, and I'm pretty sure with that. So we spoke with a manager from Belgium, from Domenico Tedesco, and he decided, and that's why I'm grateful, because he didn't feel good and can recover for the last part of the season.
When you say you played at Anfield with some problems, how long has this been an issue?
No, he played well. All the players today in modern football, they are not clean. Always they have problems, but the moment when finished the game, the day after, he didn't feel good and make a proof, then it's better to take a step back.
Just on Jack Grealish, how is he progressing?
Yeah, getting better.
Too soon this weekend?
We'll be selected, yeah, he's in the group.
Coming back quickly to the Champions League draw, is it special that obviously after so many years after you left Spain, and the rivalry between Barcelona and Madrid go part of your life since you were playing, is it special that now they are back, which go routine in a way, like you said, it's the third season in a row?
But I would say for us it's a little bit new for Real Madrid. It's not special to play qualifying at the Champions League. So for us, even the last years have been quite consistent many times, doing finals, semifinals, final, now quarterfinal again. So we start to be in this routine, to be in lesser stages. When you play lesser stages, you play against the best teams in Europe, and Real Madrid also is there. Sometimes the draw decide to play, sometimes no, sometimes we go through, sometimes we are out. So it really is. I don't pay much attention about it. Is opponents. So all the opponents were really, really tough. Everybody knows it. And we were all the time before the draw, we are excited because it's a privilege. Every time we are here, it's a privilege. It was in knockout stage, it was the last 16, our quarterfinals. Always it is. So this is a special competition. I said many times, I don't know if it's the most difficult one or not, because the Premier League or La Liga or Bundesliga or Serie A or and French and whatever, always is difficult. There are a lot of games. But this one is, you know, it's special. It's make you feel, you know, go to Europe and, you know, with the team, with the club, organization, go everywhere and try to play our best football. It's so nice.
And on Newcastle,
Bruno
Guimarães is a player that you have complimented both personally. What characteristics of this game?
Exceptional folding midfielder, aggressive with the ball, have the pose, and set pieces is aggressive, and a real, real complete holding midfielder. Since playing in Lyon, when he was playing there, and now is in a club like want to grow up, and I'm pretty sure he's part of the project for the next years, definitely.
You mentioned the two tight games with Newcastle already this season. It's been difficult for them with the Champions League and with all the injuries they've had this time around. But what do you make of the job that Eddie Howe has done there? And
excellent.
Do you put them into a position where they'll challenge for all the big trophies in seasons to come?
Honestly, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. The intention should be, but I don't know. The work is there. So they install the club in another level. So it's like us when we begin, so we need the support from behind and after the managers and bring the club, and Eddie has done it. What happened that season, I'm not there, I didn't speak with Eddie, so I don't know, but I'm pretty sure they want to take a lesson for the future, you know, to be every time closer and closer.
And Calvin Phillips was left out of the England squad yesterday. Gareth Southgate said he needs to find his rhythm and confidence. Obviously, you've worked closely with him. Do you think he's capable of regaining that and forcing his way back into the Euros?
Of course, I hope for. I would. Calvin has said many times, so he's an exceptional guy, and he needs the minutes that they didn't get here, and he's trying to have them in London.
Yeah.
Chidam Yon from TV Sport, Turkey. If you make another treble, you will be the first manager in history. And to do so afterwards, will you continue your goals with Manchester City, or will you choose a different path, like your grand club?
I don't think about that right now. So, in the last month of the last 2 weeks of the season, I would let you know if you ask me this question. But it's far, far away. So, I never thought last season about that. I'm not thinking right now after I've done it. So, it's now, it's tomorrow, it's the quarterfinals against a top team at home with our people to reach a semi final FA Cup. I don't know, 4 or 5 times in a row. I don't know how many. So, and this is our target, step by step. And after recover, go to national teams, the players hopefully come back, and I play a final, another final against Arsenal.
Can I ask a second question? I'm curious about Ederson. How long will he play without Ederson?
Tomorrow for sure. Mm-hmm. After you have 2 weeks off, they will recover, and we'll see when we come back next Wednesday, Thursday. How does he feel? Hopefully as soon as possible.